I invite you to listen this morning, as if for the first time, to these familiar stories from Luke and Matthew. Notice what word or phrase especially speaks to you today. From the first chapter of Luke, verses 26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." From the first chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today's Christmas story is a love story. Pat read the Gospel of Luke that tells Mary's side of the story, and she also read the Gospel of Matthew, which tells Joseph's side of the story. Now, usually we get one year and one another, but today I combined them. These stories are so familiar to us. Mary, a first century woman who likely had no power, not just because she was 12, 13, or 14 years old and without a husband. She didn't have voice or consent over her body. Those decisions were made by others. But this story today gives this young woman voice and choice. We see evidence in that today in our scripture when the angel of Gabriel tells her that she will bear a son. She says, "How can that be? I am a virgin." And Gabriel reassures her that the Holy Spirit is with her. And then she moves from powerlessness to power when she responds to the request of the angel and says, "Let it be with me according to your word." Mary accepted the love of God in that moment. Now, Joseph's version of the story is similar. Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. Joseph's plan was to quietly divorce her because he was a righteous or just man. But the angel comes to Joseph as well and says, "Take Mary as your wife. What is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." As a just man, Joseph had learned to follow the law in the Torah, so he's torn by this message. Now, Joseph was just definitely in a better position than Mary because of his gender and because of his genealogy. But he still had a choice to make, the law or God's message. And Joseph chose God's message. Joseph accepted God's love. So that's the story that we get from Scripture today. But don't you want to know more? I do. Like, what was it like back then? Were they in love? Was Mary happy? Was this an arranged marriage? You know, were they junior high sweethearts? Same for Joseph. What was it like for him? We know he's a just man. Was it a marriage of convenience for him? Well, the hopeless romantic in me wanted this sermon to be a love story between Mary and Joseph and their unborn son. And the reality is, it was probably a pretty scandalous time for them. Yet it is a love story with God and about God. But as Mary and Joseph journeyed into their first Christmas together, they walked into the unknown, relying only on their own love story with God. The good news is that this is not just a first century story. It's relevant today. It's our story. This love story empowers a nation to be pregnant with possibility, to birth hope, peace, love, and joy. It has the power to inspire us to rise above and be our best selves. The story affirms that God is born, conceived, and birthed in all kinds of people, in all kinds of situations. We don't have to have a particular status. We can live in the cities or rural areas. We can be married, divorced, separated, young, old, doubtful, faithful, gay, straight, lesbian. This story affirms that God comes to all of us. To say that this child is from the Holy Spirit is to say that it is a radical new beginning, and it is God's doing. This is a love story that favors Mary, a poor young Jewish girl. This was not typical in this world. And it could have been very dehumanizing when the rich and the powerful were thought to be the favored ones. And they were almost always men. So in this story, Mary was chosen. chosen instead of stoned to death, and she was reassured by the angel to not be afraid. This story favors the unfavored. It encourages us not to be afraid or frustrated in the face of our divisive world, because God does live in us, not just Mary and Joseph. This story disrupts our thinking and asks us to open our hearts to difference, to different people and different situations. Because God is love, and this is a love story. Mary chosen because she was different. There is no one standard of people or situation that is favored by God. We are invited to learn from this story, to invite the love of God into our lives, no matter whom we are or what our experiences are, whether we feel isolated or broken, or joy and exuberance. We learn to accept those who might be shamed or ostracized, those who may be facing a quandary, follow God or the law. God wants to birth something new in us, in you and me. How will we respond to this story? How will we respond to the Holy Spirit who dwells not just in Mary and Joseph, but in all of us? How will we deal with the impossible? When society says one thing and God says another. Look around our world. This story says that nothing is impossible, that love can overcome, that love wins. How will we rewrite our story based on the greatest story ever? If we get the message of the Christmas story, if we embody the message of hope, peace, joy, and love, will we accept the challenge of the Holy Spirit? Will we see the impossible in Mary and Joseph's situation and make it our story? Will we extend the meaning of this love story into our lives? I hope so. 'Tis the season. Praise be to God. Amen.